Tonight's shir is titled Parshas Korach, the sick visiting the sick. And we're going to take up a pasuk in Parshas Korach, which is dealing with Bikur Cholim. And it doesn't really deal with Bikur Cholim openly, but the Gemara learns out from this pasuk, this particular pasuk, the idea or an idea of Bikur Cholim, visiting sick people. And hopefully we can gain insight into that concept, what the concept of visiting sick people is. Superficially, it would seem like the idea is simply to just help out a sick person. It's an idea in chesed, but I think there's a deeper idea, and it really comes out of this pasuk in Parshas Korach. And we'll begin with source number one, which is Bamidbar Perek Tazayin, and I put in three psukim to give a little bit of context. This is when Moshe is approaching Adas Korach and Dasan Vaviram. And Moshe says to them, "Vayomer Moshe, bezos teidun ki Hashem shalachani lasos es kol maasim aile ki lo milibi." Moshe is discussing and telling Adas Korach and Dasan Vaviram that this is how you'll know that these actions, all the actions that I've done, are not from me and they're really from Hashem. How will you know that? He makes a tanai, a condition. He says, "Im kemos kol haadam yemusun aile." If Korach and his fellow followers, Dasan Vaviram, if they live a normal life and they die, like a normal death, and they're visited upon by people, Lo Ado Shem Shalachani, then Hashem hasn't sent me. Meaning to say that the test is that if Korach exists and he lives through this process, and he lives a normal lifespan, then it's proof that Moshe made these decisions himself and he wasn't sent by Hashem. But in Pasuk Lamed, he says the opposite. V'im briya yivra Hashem, ufatsasa damas piyo, vala usam mes kula shalahem, v'yarduchayim sha'ola, vidatem kiniyatsu an Hashem ha'eles ad Hashem. But if God creates this new entity in creation, where he opens up the ground and the ground swallows up Korach and Dasan Vaviram alive, then you'll know that these individuals provoked Hashem. The basic summary of the three psukim brought in tonight's shir is that Moshe is telling Korach and Dasan Vaviram that if they live a normal lifespan and they don't die immediately, then it's a proof that Moshe wasn't sent by God. But if this nes occurs and the earth opens up and swallows up Korach and Dasan Vaviram, then it's a proof the opposite way, that Moshe was sent by Hashem, and that these individuals are merely provoking Hashem. But the main idea of tonight's shir is going to focus on Pasuk Chaf Tes, and let's read it inside again. If we look at its source number one, Pasuk Chaf Tes, Im kemos kol ha'adam yemusun eila ufkudas kol ha'adam yipaked ha'lehem lo ad Hashem shalachani. If Korach and Dasan Vaviram die a normal death, and ufkudas kol ha'adam yipaked ha'lehem, and they're visited upon by men, by individuals, Lo Ad Hashem Shalachani, then Hashem hasn't sent me. What is strange about this pasuk, immediately? Somebody on the phone line? What's strange
about... I had a question about the pasuk, but I don't know if it's your question.
Okay, what's the question?
I thought that the whole point of Harsinai was to prove that Moshe was from God. Like, that God had picked him.
The point of Har Sinai was to prove that, yeah, but now this is being challenged, so a new nes had to occur. It's true, the Har Sinai did prove Moshe's legitimacy, but they were challenging it. They were challenging Moshe's legitimacy. I think the Ramban actually says that. They were challenging Moshe's legitimacy, so that's why he has to reaffirm his legitimacy as a Navi min Hashem. But what do you think my question was? What do you think my question was?
I didn't have a thought on what your question was.
Oh, okay. Anybody else?
Sorry.
It's okay. Anybody else? What's strange about the pasuk? What's the pasuk adding by ufkudas kol adam yipaked alehem? Moshe should simply say im kemos kol adam yimusunela. If you die a normal death, then that proves that Hashem didn't send me. What's the pasuk adding by telling you ufkudas kol adam yipaked alehem? It's a strange lashon, that the visiting of men, of individuals, should be visited upon you. If that happens, then it's proof that Hashem hasn't sent me. Why does the pasuk add that? What's it telling you? If we look at number two, in Unklus, just for some shot based on Unklus, He says, Im kemosa dechol enasha yimusun ilain. If they die normally, usiura dechol enasha yista'ar lehon lo ad Hashem shalachani. The word siura is an idea in visiting, being mevakir. And we're going to see that in the Gemara, but it's good to have the uncleus just to tell you the pshat. And the pshat is that if men visit you, if you die a normal death and men visit you, then it's proof, lo ad Hashem shalachani, that Hashem hasn't sent me. Okay? But what is the idea, though, of this pasuk in Chav Tes? So if we look at the Gemara, which is going to be the opening of our shir, the main part of our shir, the Gemara takes up an interesting point in this pasuk. In number 3, it's Maseches Nedarim daf Lamites Amud Beis. It says, Amar Reish Lakish, Remez Lebikur Cholin Min HaTorah Minayin. There is a hint to Bikur Cholin visiting the sick from the Torah. Where is it from? Shenemar, as it says in our pasuk, Im Kemos Kol Adam Yimusun Eile Ufkudas Kol Adam VeGomer. It's quoting our pasuk. What's the Remez? The Gemara goes on, my mashma, what's the mashmos, what's the understanding of this pasuk? Amarava, im kumos kol adam, yimusun eile, if Korach and Dasan Vaviram die normally, shehen cholin umutalin barisasan, that they're sick and they're bedridden, uvne adam evakrin osan, and then individuals visit them, ma brios omrim, what will they say? Lo ad Hashem shalachani lazeh, that they'll say that Moshe wasn't sent for this task. So the Gemara is learning out a remez, a hint, to Bikur Cholim from our Parsha, from Parsha's Korach, and the remez is from our Pasuk, and it doesn't just mention the fact that if Korach dies a normal death, but it says, if he dies a normal death, and part of dying a normal death is that you get sick and people visit you. So you see that the Torah is hinting to Bikur Cholim in this Pasuk. So that's what the Gemara is telling us. Okay? Now, does anybody have a question on this Gemara? What's strange about this Gemara? All right. What's strange? When do we do Bikur Cholim? Do we only do Bikur Cholim when people are on their deathbeds, or do we do Bikur Cholim when people aren't on their deathbeds? Just in a regular case of...
Not regular.
Right, regular. So, Racheli's... Yeah, Debbie?
That was Emily.
Oh, Emily, sorry. Emily said regular?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, so I agree. Normally we do Bikur Cholim in a case where a person's sick. So it's funny that the Torah is learning out the remez for Bikur Cholim only in a case where a person's sick and on their way to death, which is what the Pasuk is referring to by Moshe Rabbeinu. He's telling them, as the Gemara says, if you die a normal death, meaning you'll fall ill and then people will visit you. So it seems to be tying Bikur Cholim to an idea of visiting a person on his way to death. But the reality is that we don't always do, that's not really the mitzvah speaker cholim. Mitzvah speaker cholim occurs even when a person is not on their way to death, not when they're dying.
Maybe that's the deraisa, though.
There is no deraisa. That's why it's a remez.
Oh, it says here.
It says most shita, yeah, that's why it's a remez. It's an idea that really it's a mitzvah derabana, and according to most, and they learn it out under the category of ahavta l'reicha kamocha, but it's really a mitzvah to say derabanan. And that's why the Gemara here says it's a remez. They don't say it's a real limud. But the question is, the Torah is obviously indicating to you some idea about Bikur Cholim by telling you the case of Bikur Cholim, by attaching it to a case where a person is on his way to death. So what can we derive from here? Any ideas as to why that would be? Any possibilities?
I don't know. I thought out there, but I thought there was something about visiting someone on their deathbed and helping them say you do it.
Yeah, that's okay. Maybe we'll come across that, but that's not Bikur Cholim. That's my point. Bikur Cholim doesn't have to be then. It could be even when a person's not on their deathbed.
No, maybe that's where maybe it came from. Like,
oh, okay. You're saying
Rabbanim said, oh, you know, maybe we should also have an institution of like just visiting somebody not when they're dying.
Okay. All right.
Or maybe because that's like the hardest type of Bikur Cholim. It's a lot easier to just visit somebody when they're like under the weather as opposed to close to death.
Okay. I like that. Why is it so much harder?
Because then you sort of, you know, identify with the fact that you could die also.
All right, good. So that's good. So good idea, Emily. So I agree with that.
Heavy. So, no, I'm kidding.
So I think you're right. I was going to say a similar idea, and I think your idea comes out in one of the sources that we're going to look at. But let me just clarify to everybody what Emily was saying. So I think the idea is that really the paradigm case of Bikur Cholim is in a case where a person's on his way to death. Why? Well, Emily was saying because it's harder to do, and she was saying the reason why it's harder to do is because it brings to light death, the idea of death in yourself. Right, Emily? Is that correct? I don't want to misquote you.
Correct.
Okay. And so what about a case where a person's not on their way to death? So I would say that every illness, I think this is a chiddush, but I'd say every illness somehow brings to light a person's death. Even an illness that doesn't actually lead to death, but every illness reminds a person of their mortality, of the fact that they're going to die. So it's true that the Torah is learning Bikur Cholim and the paradigm from the case where a person is actually on their deathbed. But I think the idea is that Bikur Cholim extends even to cases where a person's not on their deathbed, because every situation of cholios, of being sick, reminds a person, brings to light the idea that a person won't live forever and that they could potentially die. Right? Okay. But and I think Emily's point is a significant point in our shir, which is that when a person does Bikur Cholim, that it reminds them of their own mortality, of their own ability to die. And that's an idea in Bikur Cholim, okay? And this idea is brought to light by the Kli Yakar also. And I happened to think about this idea before I saw the Kli Yakar, but the Kli Yakar, I have it on my iPad app, so I couldn't ignore it. And I saw the Kli Yakar, and he says a similar idea, which both Emily and I conceived of and thought of. So if we look at the Kli Yakar, it's really small print, so I'm going to read it inside. He says, "Im kamos kol adam yumusun eila, b'maseches nidarim, amar resh lakish, minayin lebikur cholim min haTorah, shenemar im kamos kol adam v'gomer, shehem cholim umutalim al riso sechem, they're sick and they're on their deathbed, uvnei adam mevakar nosam lo ad Hashem shlachani." He's just merely quoting the Maseches Nedarim. Uperish Rashi shesamach al sof hamikra. So Rashi explains that it's relying on the end of the pasuk. She'amar ufkudas kol adam yipaked alehem, that man, if the person who's dying is visited by individuals, pekida zuhainu bikur. Pekida is a reference to visiting bikur. V'hinei makom iti lefarish pekida zu bederech acher. So he wants to explain it in another way. Ki yesh beiz toeles bebikur ze. There's two purposes to bikur cholim. Ha'echad hu shemevakrin. So one thing is that you take care of the sick person. You do things for him, you get him what he needs. That's one idea of Bikur Cholim. Bikur Sheni hu litzorech haholchim shama. But the second idea in Bikur Cholim, it's for the person going there. Ki kemo shetov aleches el beis avel, just like it's good for a person to go to a cemetery, kidei shachiyasan el libo kach, that it brings to light and it reminds a person of their life and their potential death. Tov aleches el achola. It's also good to go to achola. Ki al yedei zeh yivaker v'yifashvesh l'memasav. Because that'll cause a person to do tshuva. Ki yelchu shama avirei lev harachokim mitzdaka asher ein pachad elokim l'neged einehem. So people who don't have any fear of God will go there. V'liba ma'aral toch mahavim l'acharisam ki tohuhu v'sofo. Because and this will cause them to it will remind them where they're ending up. They're going to end up in the ground, basically. Vizehu pekidas kol adam ki asofu pekida kol adam yipaked alehem. And this happens to everybody. Basically, everybody ends up falling to death and dying. So the idea, I think, he's saying, we're going to stop there. One of the ideas which is brought to light is what, as Emily said, which is that one idea in Bikur Cholim is that it reminds the Mevaker of his own potential death. And there's a benefit, according to the Kli Yakar, the real idea, the real benefit to the person is that it enhances his ability to do tshuva. By going into the Chole and by visiting him and by reminding the Mevaker of his own mortality, so that helps the person do tshuva. So that's one idea in Bikur Cholim. And the idea of Bikur Cholim seems to be tied to that concept. Okay, would everybody agree with that concept, with that idea? Yeah? Okay. Racheli's shaking her head, and I don't know what the people on the phone line are thinking, but you're able? Okay, good. Thank you. Who is that, Debbie or Emily?
Debbie.
Okay, thank you. All right, so that's the first part, the first idea, and I hope it's a clear idea. And I think we're going to see a similar theme in the Rambam. And the, what I want to do is I want to read through the halachos in the Rambam first, and then we'll go back and try to explain what the Rambam is saying. So it's number 5 in the source sheets, and it starts with Hilchos Avel Perak Yudalet Halacha Aleph. And Racheli, do you mind?
Sure.
Do you mind?
Mitzvot Asi Shel Divrehem, Levakir Cholim, Ulanachim Avelim, Ulahutzi Amet, Ulahachni Sakala, Ulalavod Haorchim, Ulitasik Bechol Tzarcha Yakura, Lasat Al Ha Ketef?
Yeah, Kasef. This is the shoulder.
Okay.
Go on. I'll explain it.
Ulilich Lefanav, Ulispod Vilichvor. Vilikvor.
Good.
Vachim Lissamea Hakala Hachatan.
Lissadam. Okay, stop. So there's a mitzvah, sase midurabanan, to do all these things. What are these things? Bikur cholem, we all know. Nichum avelem, I'm sure we're familiar. Stop me if you don't know. Hotzas ames, which means to bring out the mace. And they usually are malava the mace. Ulahachnes akala, to bring the kala into the chuppah. Ulavos aorchim. There's a halacha that you're supposed to walk your guests out. Many people don't know of that halacha. Ulehisasek bechol tzarchei akfura, to be involved in burial. Lasei sal akasef, to carry the coffin or the body on your shoulder. Velelech lefanav lispod velachbor velikbor, to do all these things for the funeral. Vechein lesameach akala vachasan, to make them happy. Ulesadam bechol tzarcheim, and to provide them with food and sustenance. All that is mitzvah sasei midrabanan. Go on. Okay, so he calls it Gmilas Chasadim, and there's no shiur, there's no real measurement as to how much you can do or you're supposed to do, and it falls under the category of V'hafta L'recha Kamocha. Everything, okay, good. So everything that you want to do to others, shiyasu osam lecha achirim, that others want to do to you, sorry, asei ata osam lachicha v'tarv mitzvos, that's what you should do to your friend. Everything that you want done to you, that's what you should do to your friend. Okay, basic idea of the halacha is that the Rambam is categorizing bikur cholim as a mitzvah derabanan, and he's including it under gmilas chasadim, and which fits under v'hafta l'recha kamocha. And we're going to see why that's significant, why he includes it under v'hafta l'recha kamocha. Okay, I'm going to read halacha dalid in number 5. He says, bikur cholim mitzvah ala kol. Everybody's chayev, afilu gadol mevakir sakatan. Even an adult, or a gadol v'torah, should be mevakir somebody lesser than them. Umevakirin harbe pa'amim bayom, and you're supposed to be mevakir many times. You can be mevakir as much as you want. V'chol amosif meshubach, and the more you're mevakir, the more you visit the sick, the better. Ubilvad shelo yatriach, but you don't want to make it harder for the chole. Anybody who's mevakir the chola, it's as if he takes some of his sickness and he lightens the load on the chola, on the person who's sick. But if you're not mevakir, it's like you're a shofech damim. So what's strange about this Rambam? Before I move on, what's strange? The strange thing, I think, is the end part of the Rambam, which is that he says that the mevakir takes some of the sickness away, and he says if you're not mevakir, you're a shofech damim. Why is that? Why are you shofech damim if you're not mevakir, and how does it work that you take some of the sickness away? Okay? So before we answer that, I think before we answer the questions, we're going to come back to that question. That's a key question. I think we have to know what the halachos are according to the Rambam, because the Rambam has a very interesting structure of bikur cholim. So we just did halacha dalid, and if we look at... We're going to go to the next page, and it's a little bit out of order. But if you look at Halacha Hey, number 8, and Halacha Vav, I'm going to read it inside. Halacha Hey isn't as important to our shir, but I'm going to read it inside nevertheless. It says, Eim evakrin es achola elam yom shlishi vahala. You're only supposed to visit the sick from the third day onwards. Vim kafat alav acholi v'hichbid mevakrin oso miyad. But if it's very strong, the sickness, and it happens suddenly, then you mevakir him right away. Because that's your only chance. You're not supposed to visit him too late and too early. Because at that point, the other people, the nurses, they're taking care of the chola, so you're not supposed to bother the chola. You shouldn't visit people who have issues with their head and with their eyes and with their intestines. Velo mechoshi arosh mifnei shabikur kasha lahem, because it's hard for them. So in general, you shouldn't do bikur cholim to somebody who won't benefit from the bikur, which makes sense, I think, right? Mm-hmm. It's not gemilas chasadim unless for the other person, if the person doesn't like it, if it's not beneficial to the person. Now here's the strangest halacha. Look at halacha vav, and then we're going to go back and try to explain the Rambam. He says, "Hanichnas levaker es hachola lo yeshev lo agabe mita v'lo agabe kise." A person who enters to visit the chola, he should not sit on the bed, and he should not sit on a chair. V'lo agabe safsal, he should not sit on a bench. V'lo agabe makom gavoa, nor should he sit on a higher place, higher than the chola. V'lo lemala mimarashosav, he shouldn't be above the head of the chola. He should be below, by the feet of the chola. Ella, so what should he do? Ella misatef yoshev lamata mimarashosav. He should be misatef, which means he should wrap himself, and he should sit beneath the chola, umivake shalav rachamim, and he davens, he asks for mercy, viyotze, and then he leaves. That's bikur cholim, according to the Rambam, right? So what's strange about the Rambam, before we move on, about this halacha?
I just wouldn't have thought there was all these, particulars about where
Racheli didn't know that this was how the Rambam categorizes bikur cholim, that this is bikur cholim, right? What's strange, though? Why is it the Rambam so strange? What's he missing, first of all? What's he missing in his
halacha? No interaction with the chola.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. There's no chit-chat here, you know? Like, it reminds me of Seinfeld. There's a Seinfeld where Jerry, he feels a tremendous pressure to entertain this chola, this sick guy, and he comes in with, like, a barrage of jokes. And you see that the Rambam doesn't have that. He doesn't have any interaction with the chola. There's no idea of, like, of chit-chat, of talking to the chola. Nor is there an idea of even taking care of his needs, because you see in the halacha before, he talks about others taking care of his needs. Shehein misaskin b'tzarchei achola. So the only idea of bikur cholim, according to the Rambam, is this. You walk in, apparent for some reason, he doesn't explain, which we're going to need to understand. You walk in, you sit at the bottom of the bed, nobody knows why. You're mevakesh rachamim, and then you leave right away. You know, there's no time to talk, no time for chit-chat, you just have to walk out. So it's a strange set of halachos, correct? And this is only the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold of this. The Shulchan Aruch actually holds that there's, if you look in the halachos in Siman Shin Lamed Hei in the Shulchan Aruch and other Rishonim, they talk more about taking care of the chola and talking to the chola and listening to his pain and what he has to say. But the Rambam is different. He's just very straight into the point. So we're going to have to understand, well, try to understand the Rambam. Yeah.
It seems like, according to the Rambam, the experience is really more for the person who's visiting, not for the person who is being visited.
But that's not true. Why? What's the disproof of that?
Because they're not speaking to the person. They're just walking in, having an action, and then leaving.
All right. But I have two problems with what you're saying. One problem is halacha hay, which says that you can't go to be mevaker the chola unless it's appropriate to do so, meaning if the chola is really in a bad state, or it's like too early in the morning or too late, you're not supposed to visit him. So if it was all about you, then you would think that you should go visit him. And second of all, in the first halacha, which we're going to go back to right now, if you go back to source number five, halacha dalid, he says that if you're mevakir the cholet, kilu natal chelik mechalya v'hakel me'alav, it's as if you take some of his sickness and you make it lighter on him. So it's not just about you, you're also helping the chola. And it's milos chesed, and it's v'hafta l'recha kamocha. So it's not just about you. So I would disagree with you on that point. By the way, just to set the record straight also, there's no other halachos really where the Rambam mentions, these are the main halachos, so I'm not leaving anything out. So don't think that the next, in fact, I'll show you the next halacha. The next halacha in the Rambam, halacha zayin, is number 7. And he moves from nichum, from bikur cholim to nichum avelim. He says, Yir Elisha Nechamas Avelim Kodem LeBikur Cholim. So that's really the end of the halachos on Bikur Cholim. And then he starts talking about Nechum Avelim and other halachos in the first, which he states in the first halacha, in Halacha Aleph. So I'm not really trying to trick you here. This is really all that the Rambam says that Bikur Cholim is. So now we have to explain the Rambam on a more insightful, deeper level, right? You guys agree? All right, so let's go back to the first question. The first question was on Halacha Dalet. How it is a work that if a person's mevaker the chola, it's as if he lightens the sickness of the person. But on the other hand, if he doesn't visit, he's like a shofech damim. It's kind of harsh to call a person a murderer if he doesn't visit the sick person. So why? Why does the Rambam refer, have these two extremes, and how does it work? How would it work, according to the Rambam? Especially...
Maybe because the person feels like they're, like nobody cares about them. It's as if they're dead, and they think that they start going to that place in their mind, whereas if a person comes, they feel, you know, energized and hopeful about the future because someone, they're worth visiting.
Okay, maybe. Good. But okay, even according to the Rambam, I agree with what you're saying, but you see from the Rambam that there's no idea of interaction, really. It's merely that the person walks in, and he davens, and then he leaves. So according to the Rambam, even though that is what Bikur Cholim is according to the Rambam, would you still say the same thing?
Yeah, because just knowing that you're worth somebody coming to, even if they just smile at you, you're worth somebody coming to smile at. Like, you're a person who's worth somebody even walking into your room to give you a smile.
Okay, I agree with that. I'm just going to elaborate on that, but I agree with that point. Okay, good. But what about the other, what about the opposite end, the Shofech Damim? Because it should fit, because the Rambam, he's saying, if you do this, you're A, and if you don't do this, you're B. So there should be some type of relationship between A and B. It should be that if you're Mevaka L'chola, great, and the idea of Shofech Damim should be the opposite of that, or should somehow relate to that. So maybe we can try to understand that also. But I agree with what my mother-in-law is saying with her comment. But I want to take it a little bit further. So anybody else have a possibility for how it works?
Maybe like until the Chola speaks to you, you're not supposed to speak, so it's like, let them kind of lead the way.
Okay. What is that similar to another halacha? What is that similar to?
Like when you pay a Shiva call, I guess?
Nichum Avelim. Good, good. I think you're right. And I think the Rambam actually notes that, and I have a couple proofs for that. That there's some similarity. This might help in terms of defining the Rambam, but if you look in Halacha Aleph, he says Mitzvah Sheshel Devreim Levakir Cholam Olnachem Avelim, and then he goes on to Lohutzi Ame. So he puts them together, and then if you look in Halacha Zion number 7, he says Yirali Shenachamas Avelim Kodem Lebikur Cholam Shenichum Avelim Gemilos Chasad Imachayim Bim Hamesim. So he says Nichum Avelim is better than Bikur Cholam, but you see the Rambam is comparing them. They're in some type of similar category. The fact that the Rambam brings down that halacha and he says, if you have a choice between Nichum Avelim and Bikur Cholim, is showing you that the Rambam identifies these two mitzvahs as somewhat similar to one another. So in what sense are they similar? Okay, when does a person, let's just go back to more basic psychology, when does a person feel comforted by another person? When a person's in distress, what idea makes them feel more comfortable in general?
That it might be okay, that it's going to be okay or something.
Okay. Well, I disagree with that. Is anybody else?
I don't know if that's true, but people always say it will be okay. So maybe that's like the go-to thing that makes people feel better. I don't know.
People think that makes people feel better, but I don't think it really makes people feel better.
Maybe it's when people empathize.
Yeah, the care of someone else makes a person feel better, but like, I don't know why it's not real.
All right, good. So you're saying that, okay, so you're saying the idea is that you feel better when when other people are in it with you, basically. When you recognize that other people are going through something similar that you're going through, right?
Right.
Yeah, but even just the visit from someone who cares might help the person. It's not necessarily if they're going through the same thing.
I know, but it makes it even more... I would say that it makes it even more... it makes it even more comforting when the person is there, when you feel like they're feeling what you're feeling.
Yeah.
Right? When you feel like
I think it's a step. I think it's even a step beyond sympathy. I think people like when you empathize with them, it makes them feel better.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to explain why that makes them feel better. It makes them feel better because what makes sickness or let's say sadness worse is when you feel alone and you feel like nobody understands what you're feeling. Nobody's really with you. That's I think Eicha Yashva Badad Ha'ira Basiyam. A key idea of Eicha is the idea of loneliness. That loneliness psychologically really enhances a person's depression and sickness. But when he feels like other people can sense what he's going through and understand what he's going through, that's when a person feels the most comforted, that he's not alone. Right? Okay. So does everybody agree with that concept or that step? Okay, fine. All right. So I think that's the step to make. That's the key step. So now how do we explain the Rambam now? So the Rambam's saying that I think the lashon of the Rambam is very good, the language. He says, let me read it inside. He says, Kol mevaker sachola ki ilu natal chelek mechalia v'hakel me'alav. It's as if he takes some of his sickness and he lightens it. Why? Because we said earlier that part of Bikur Cholim is that the Mevaker is supposed to experience and also be grappling with his own mortality. And when the Chola senses that and he sees that the Mevaker also has to go through a similar experience, that should make it lighter on him, the chalios. It makes the sickness lighter. Why? And that's the Rambam. He's saying that the Mevaker takes away some of his sickness. Why does the Mevaker take away some of his sickness? Because he senses that the Mevaker is going through the same thing. So that lightens the sickness. It helps the person get better. When he recognizes that other people, another person is going through something similar, at least he understands. He has some type of deeper understanding and insight into what the chola is going through. That makes the sickness, the sickness lighter and go away.
The other person like carries the burden.
Yeah, carries the burden, right. Okay, but what about the other? What's the shofech damim? So what exactly is the key characteristic of a murderer? A murderer, the only way a person can murder, a normal person can murder, is if he lacks an identification with the person he's murdering. Right? You see like the Nazis, for example, they viewed the Jews as non-human. You know? That made it easier for them to kill the Jews. If they viewed the Jews as similar to themselves, it would be harder for them to kill them because then it would bring to mind and to light a certain sense of their own mortality, their own death. So a shofech dam, a murderer, is a person who absolutely, in the highest regard or in the highest sense, disregards and doesn't identify with the person that he murders. So what's the idea of the Rambam saying? The idea is that the mevaker, his job is to demonstrate to the chola that he senses and that he understands what the chola is going through, and that helps the chola. And the person who's not mevaker, it reflects an individual who lacks an identification with that, an identification with the person who's going through the deathly experience, the facing his own mortality. So he's like a murderer. It doesn't mean that he's causing the chola to die. He's not causing the chola to die, but he partakes, he exhibits the same characteristics as a shofech damim, as a murderer, because he lacks an identification with the other person. He almost can't, he doesn't want to recognize his own death, his own mortality, and that's why he's not mevaker. And he lacks, by lacking that identification with the chola, it's a demonstration that he's unable to really recognize his own mortality, which is exactly like the murderer, right?
Can it be exactly the opposite?
Why?
He identifies with the chola so much that it's too painful for him to visit?
He identifies with the chola so much that it's too painful for him to visit. I mean, that's not the normal case of Bikur Cholim. That is possible, but I think he's talking about a normal case. What's a more normal case where a person doesn't want to be mevaker? I think it's a person doesn't want to deal with it, or he doesn't want to face it himself. I think your case is the more extreme case, and I don't think most people feel like that. But I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Does anybody else sense that?
Sometimes
or?
There is like a false identification, especially I would say among women.
There's a false identification. You mean?
Yeah, where the person like feels, for whatever reason, like overly identified with the sufferer. And
right.
And they like can't bring themselves, it's like almost like
but why can't, the question is, why can't you bring yourself? It's still the same idea, though. Why can't you bring yourself to doing it? Because it's
comes from like some neurotic fear.
It's a fear that you... Well, yeah, exactly. So Racheli just said, even in that situation, I think that Tamar brought up, even that situation, it reflects like an anxiety or a fear of facing your own mortality, of facing your own potential death. So that's what I would say. It's a similar idea. Even if you... I would say that that's the idea. If you identify with the chola so much... But on the other hand, you can't bring yourself to going because it reminds you of your own mortality, and that's too hard for you to deal with. It's too hard for a person to recognize that they're going to die. They're eventually going to die. Okay? So now, why is there like a lack of chit-chat according to the Rambam? I think it kind of makes sense based on the Rambam's idea. Because I remember when we were sitting Shiva, I remember a lot of people, the people who came in and they started talking a lot, it made you feel less comfortable. Why? Because when a person talks a lot, it's almost... A lot of times when a person talks a lot, it comes from a certain nervousness. But also, we sensed in a lot of people like an idea of not willing to identify with us. And by talking, it demonstrated a lack of ability to identify with us when we were in Shiva. Whereas the people who said less and really... Excuse me, can you put your mute button on, whoever is... Is that better for the people on the phone line? Do you hear it?
No.
Do you hear the background noise?
Yeah.
All right, everybody on the phone line, please put your mute buttons on. There, now it's better. Okay, thank you. All right, so as I was saying, when we were sitting shiva, I remember like certain people who spoke a lot and they talked about these random subjects, like just the most random subjects. It just demonstrated an inability to identify with our situation and a desire to break off their identification almost. But the people who say less and really just demonstrate that they're in it with you, like, that's more comforting and it's a greater level, and that's really the idea of Nichum Avelim. And that's how it comforts the person who's sitting shiva. So I think that's why the Rambam, he doesn't really have so much talking and chit-chat. Because I think that takes away from this idea, this sense that the person's going through the same thing that you're going through. But if the person walks in and he demonstrates a certain... We're going to explain the last halacha in the Rambam, like what exactly is going on there. But it'll fit into our definition. But I think this is the first step, okay? And just if we look at number six, just as a proof for this idea, number six is Hilchos Avel, Perak Yagimel, Lacha Gimel. It says, So Avel Mesav Barosh, Ve'ina Menachem, and Rishon Leshev, El Agave Karkosh, Ne'amar Vayeshuvu Osol Arts. Vayeshuvu Itol Arts. They have to sit with him. We don't do that anymore. Nowadays, the people giving Nichum, they don't sit on the floor with the Avel. The real appropriate way is for them to sit on the floor with the Avel. And it's the same idea. The idea is that when you're doing Nichum, the concept is that the Avel should sense that you're with him in this, and you understand somewhat. Obviously, you're not in the exact same situation, but the Avel should feel like you're with them and that you're going through it with them, and that's what comforts the Avel. So that's really the idea of Nichum Avelim. I think that's why the Rambam puts Bikur Cholim with Nichum Avelim. They're very similar in the sense that the purpose of Bikur Cholim and Nichum Avelim is A, to remind a person of their own mortality, and B, to by identifying with the Chola and the Avel. And that in itself comforts the Avel and it comforts the sick person. So it's really one idea of Nichum Avel and Bikur Cholim. Okay? So let's just, we're just going to move on to the last Rambam and just try to explain that halacha a little bit deeper. So let's just read it inside, number 8 in the Rambam. It's again, Hilchos Avel Perek Yedad Halacha Vav. Hanichnas Levakir Esachola. If a person who enters to visit the sick person, lo yeshev lo agabe mita v'lo agabe safsal, agabe kisei v'lo agabe safsal, when you're sitting, you can't sit on the bed, you can't sit on a chair, you can't sit on a bench, v'lo agabe makom gavoa, you can't sit on a higher place, v'lo lamalo mimroshosav, you shouldn't sit above the chola's head, rather by his feet, elamis atef, you should wrap yourself, the Yoshev Lamata, Mimaroshoso, Mavakish Lov Rachum and Biyotza. And you sit beneath his head and you daven and you're Mavakish Lov Rachum. So what exactly is this? Why do you do all these things? Racheli's shaking her head, she has no idea. The Rambam doesn't tell you why, but you have to look at the Gemara. The Gemara is Masechet Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and this I think is an interesting idea in how we perceive sickness. And I'm gonna start with Amar Rabba Bar Chana. He have Azlinan Basrei der Rabbi Lazar Lishiyule Besvicha. When they followed Rabbi Lazar to visit the sick person, Zinnin Amar Hamakom Yifakedcha Lishalom. Sometimes he would say that God, the Hamakom is a reference to Hashem, that He should remember you for peace. Vezinnin Amar Rachmana Yidarchinach Lishalom. And sometimes he would say that Hashem should remember you for peace. It's the same thing. Hechi avid hachi. The Gemara says, how did he do this? V'ha'amar Rav Yehuda l'olam al yishal adam tzracha b'loshon arami. There's a general concept that a person shouldn't ask request from God in Aramaic. And if you look in the Gemara says, one lashon is lashon hakodesh, and the other one, rachmana yidarchinach l'shalom, is really arami. So how can you do this? The Amar of Yochanan Kol Shol Tzracha B'Lashon Rami Ein Malachei Sharz Niskakin Lo Shein Malachei Sharz Makirin B'Lashon Rami. So again, the Gemara asks the same type of question, that you're not allowed to ask for your needs, and you're not allowed to be Mavakish in Lashon Rami. Why? Because the Malachei Sharz, they don't recognize Aramaic, which is an idea in itself. The Gemara says Shani Chola. The Chola is different. Why? The Shechina Imo. The Shechina is with them. The Amar of Ana and Amar Rav. So Rav Anan said in the name of Rav, Minayin Shechina Soed Es Achola. how do we know that the Shekhinah either visits or supports, we're going to see what it means, the chole, the sick person, Shneamar, Hashem yisadenu al eres davai, that Hashem provides support or visits the person on his sickbed. Tanya namin hachi, there's a brisa that's similar in line with this. Hanichnas levakir es chole, a person who goes to be mevakir es chole, lo yeshev lo agabe mita, v'lo agabe kise, ela misate fi yoshev lefanav. So he shouldn't sit on a chair or on the bed, but rather he should wrap himself and sit before him. Because the Shekhinah, the presence of Hashem, is above the head of the Chole. Like it says in the Pasuk, that Hashem, he supports the person, the sick person, on his sick bed. And then there's another statement, Amar Rava, Minayin Shekhadosh Baruch Hu, who's Zonis HaChole. How do we know that he provides sustenance for the Chole? Shneamar Hashem Yisadenu, Al Aristava. Yisadenu means also to sustain. Okay, what's the main idea, the main concept that we have to explain? There's a concept here that the Shekhinah is with the Chola. It's above the head of the Chola. And that's the reason why when you're Mavakir the Chola, according to the Rambam and the Gemara, that's why you have to act in this way. You can't sit on a higher place. You have to sit with a certain Ema. Look at Rashi. Rashi explains the idea. Number 10. First he says soed. What's the idea of soed? He says somech betashas kocha, that a person is supported. He supports himself in his weakness with God. Umishum Rabbeinu Yaakov soer targuma shel poged. But some say that according in the name of Rabbeinu Yaakov, that soer means to visit. Klomar mevakir, meaning Hashem is mevakir the chola. So either it means that Hashem provides support for the chola because the chola is weaker, or the Hashem is mevakir. And then just skip down to the last Rashi, Misatef, he says, Me'ema Shechina. So why do you wrap yourself? Why are you enwrapped in clothing? Because you're supposed to have a certain fear of the Shechina. Ka'adam ha'yoshev be'ema, ve'ein pone letzdadin. Like a person who sits, he sits in fear and he doesn't look side to side. If you're afraid of somebody, you're in fear of somebody, you don't look from side to side, you just wrap yourself and you look down. So this is the idea. This is the main idea, and we have to explain this. What's the idea that the Shechina visits the sick person, or he's by the sick person, he's above the head of the sick person, and the nichnas who goes in has to reflect on that, and he has to sit in a certain way, and he has to daven in front of the Shekhinah. What is this concept? What do we mean by the Shekhinah's presence there? Who wants to explain?
I've heard this so many times, I don't know what it's talking about.
Rachel's heard this, but she doesn't know what it's talking about. Anybody else want to give it a shot? Somebody. Yeah. Wait, repeating the question. The Gemara says that the Shekhinah, the presence of God, is with the Chola, is with the sick person. And that is the reason why when you're Mevakir the Chola, according to the Gemara and the Rambam, that you have to have a certain fear. And you walk in, you can't sit wherever you want. You can't sit on the bed, you can't sit on a chair. You have to sit low to the ground, and you have to be Misate, if you have to wrap yourself, as if you're wrapping yourself in a talis, because you have to have a certain fear of the Shekhinah, and then you daven, as if you're in front of the Shekhinah. So my question is, what does it mean that the Shekhinah is somehow visiting the Chola, or that he's with the Chola? What exactly does that mean?
Oh, yeah, I have an idea.
Yes.
Because I think that when a person is sick, or when a person is going through a hardship, they feel extremely close to Hashem, and they seek Hashem more than ever before. So maybe,
good.
You know, it says, people who seek Hashem, like you might never feel closer to Hashem than when you're going through a tragedy.
Okay.
And that's, I think, what that means.
Okay. Good. Does anybody else have a possibility?
No.
Yeah, Racheli has a possibility.
I don't know how to define Shekhinah based on this, but yes. I thought that it has something to do with like how reflective a person who's sick might be.
Okay.
And that in some way, like the reflection and the like teshuva that they're doing, like creates some sort of like presence of like reality there. So like the person is being very reflective. They're like refining their own character.
Okay.
They're
I agree with that.
Finding their view of the world and the reality. And then when a person comes to visit, somehow they like experience that because they're identifying with the person and they're sitting and talking with them. I know talking isn't really a focus, but they are going to talk to them. And then that person is motivated through their own reflection and through their talking to the person that will be motivated to also like see God differently or reality differently. And somehow that has something.
Okay. I don't think you're saying so different than my mother-in-law. I think you're saying similar idea. Anybody else want to try? The most basic idea of Shekhinah, then, I think we just have to define what the most basic idea of Shekhinah is. The most basic idea of Shekhinah is that What does it mean? It means that God's presence... What does that mean, God's presence is there? It means that there's more availability to recognize God. In other words, God exists, and God created the world. He exists. We see God in nature. But when we say the Shekhinah is present, it means that there's an enhanced opportunity to see God, to recognize God. Like we say in the that God's Shekhinah is present in the Mishkan. What does that mean? It means that when a person goes to the Mishkan, they have a greater or more enhanced ability to become closer to God by gaining knowledge of God and gaining greater ideas in God. Or in the Midbar, for example. So the Shekhinah was there and the Shekhinah was taken away. What does that mean? It means that there are points in time where in Klal Yisrael were given greater opportunity to see God and to learn and to gain ideas about God. And there are points in time where the Shekhinah is gone, which means that it's harder. It's harder. It's not as manifest. It's not as easy to come and to understand God. I think that's the basic idea of Shekhinah. There's this idea similar to by Kiddush HaChodesh. I think the Gemara says that whoever's Roeh the Levana, the moon, by Kiddush HaChodesh, and by the bracha on the moon, it's Ki'ilu Roeh Pnei HaShekhinah. So I think there's an idea there that in studying astronomy, it's also there's a clearer idea of God. You get a more manifest idea of God. In studying the moon and studying the planets, there's an idea that God's presence and God's existence is more manifest. So the idea of Shekhinah is simply that it's more manifest to man that God exists. So now with that idea in mind, I think it makes sense. Based on both of what Racheli and my mother-in-law were saying, which is that the Chola, when he's facing his own mortality, his own death, you see things in a clearer manner. Why do you see things in a clearer manner? Because a lot of the psychological hang-ups that you have go away. And you're able, as a result, to gain greater insight into God and into knowledge of God and gain a closeness with God, as my mother-in-law said, through attaining greater knowledge and greater understanding. So the idea is that the Chola is in that state. He's in a state where he's capable of gaining greater knowledge, greater insight. That's the idea that the Shekhinah is with the Chola. It means that the Chola has an opportunity, a greater opportunity than just your average Joe, to see God and to understand God. So the Shekhinah's presence there is that concept, I think. That's the main idea there. And for various reasons. It could either be because, I think Rashi says, it could either be because now the Chola is more dependent on God, as before he was more dependent on himself. When you're sick and you recognize that you can't, there's not everything, you can't control everything, you're more dependent on God, that provides man with greater insight and more, and enlightens him. Or the other idea is also an idea that, it's a similar idea, that a person who's a Chola, he's more desperate. And when you're in a state of more desperation, you end up seeking out God more and you end up seeing God more, like an ani or like an almana. So those two ideas I think are true. But the main idea, the main concept is that the Chola has a greater opportunity to seek out God and understand God. So that I think explains the idea. So what exactly is going on in the Rambam's Bikur, Bikur Cholim? So I think it fits into what we were saying. Really the idea is that the Chola, because he's in a state where he's reflecting on his life and he's able to therefore gain greater insight into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and various ideas about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of that, the Mevaker is also privy to that. Because you see, the Mevaker, the whole idea of the Mevaker is that he's supposed to identify with the Chola and he's supposed to experience on a lesser scale the same grappling with his own mortality. So when the Mevaker enters into the Chola's vicinity, he's privy to the Shekhinah, to the same idea that the Chola is going through on a lesser scale than the Chola, but he also is privy to that. So now when the Mevaker goes in and he expresses that to the Chola, it's a pure identification with the Chola, and that's what provides a certain easiness of the sickness from the Chola, and it helps the Mevaker. Why? Because the Mevaker is able to sense his own mortality and benefit from that, and the Chola is able to sense that the other person understands a little bit what he's going through. The other person is also grappling with his own mortality. So really, the Bikur Cholim is really that's the core concept of Bikur Cholim, according to the Rambam. The core concept is that the Chola is grappling with his own mortality, and it gives him insight into God, and the Mevaker gains also is privy to that by being Mevaker the Chola, and he also should be in a similar state and reflect that to the Chola. And by doing this, by putting himself in this state where he's demonstrating a certain ima of the Shekhinah, and by davening, it's a reflection to the Chola that he's also grappling with the same idea, and that he has a similar experience to the Chola. So the whole thing is, I think that's the main concept of Bikur Cholim, Bikur Cholim, according to the Rambam. I think that explains a lot of ideas, why the Rambam compares Bikur Cholim to Nichum Avelim. It's the same idea, that there's supposed to be a mutual identification between the two. Or why, for example, the Rambam says that you help, how you help the Chola, and why you're Shofech Damim on the opposite sense. And it also explains why there's a lack of chit-chat, according to the Rambam. That's not really what Bikur is. Bikur is not talking to the Chola. It's really just demonstrating to the Chola that you're grappling with a similar issue and that you understand what the Chola is going through. And by you, like I said, by you sitting in a certain way and recognizing the Shekhinah, or at least you gain benefit from the fact that the Shekhinah is there, meaning you also gain some insight into God as a result of that. Okay? Does that make sense? Is that clear? Is there any idea that you want me to repeat again? Yeah, so once again, by the way, also, like I said before, this is the Rambam Shita. Other Shitas, like the Shulchan Aruch and other Rishonim, they say that a key component to Bikur Cholim is actually taking care of the needs of the Chola and talking to the Chola. But the Rambam, as we explained, leaves that out, because I don't think the Rambam really holds that's really Bikur Cholim. He's really identifying what exactly Bikur Cholim is, and he's keying in on a core concept. So I think that explains Bikur Cholim. In fact, like Rav Moshe has a tshuva based on the other. I was doing this at the end when I was going through this area a little bit with my brother, and we looked at some of the tshuvas on Bikur Cholim, and Rav Moshe has a tshuva about doing Bikur Cholim over the telephone. And the question is, can you be Mekayim some idea of Bikur Cholim over the telephone? But if you look, he says, of course, that it's always better to go in person, and he says that you won't accomplish the same level of Bikur Cholim, but he says it is some type of Kiyam in Bikur Cholim. But the idea of going in person, I think, fits into what we're saying, which is an idea that the identification and with the person there is a key component to Bikur Cholim. But I don't think the Rambam would say that you can be Yotze through the telephone. I think the Rambam is different than all the other Rishonim and Acharonim, and I think he would maintain that this is the only way to do it. You go in, you act with a certain respect and kavod and ema, and then you walk and you daven, you walk out. That's how it's done. All right. Does anybody have any questions on the shir?
I think that identification could be achieved with the phone.
Not as much, for sure. Maybe a little bit, but not as much. Definitely not as much. I mean, that's just true. Right. Racheli's saying that identification can be accomplished over the phone. It could be somewhat, but it's not as powerful, I would say. I think that's why maybe Rav Moshe holds that you would be. There is an idea that you would be Yotze.
What about paying a civil call? Are you okay with the same thing? Not really being okay with fine calling?
Right, so I would say it depends on who you ask. I would say you would be, according to... But you're definitely not Yotze Bishle Musa. It's definitely not the best level. The best level is to visit in person. Rav Moshe says that about Bikur Cholim. It's by far to visit in person, because when you visit in person, you have a greater ability to impact the Avel or the Chola on a much grander scale, a much deeper level. Okay? All right, so that's tonight's share. Let me just review some of the key concepts. We started off...
I have one question.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if you were finished or not. What? So then, given that definition of Bikur Cholim, can we take it back to the original question of why is this...
Yeah.
Is there a specific reason why this thing was chosen to be the proof that Moshe is from God, or is it just...
I don't think that's a good question. I don't really know. I don't think that this point, the Bikur Cholim point, is really essential to the proof. I think it's more of an idea that if they live a normal life, but I don't really know why. You're more asking also how did the Nes work also of Imbria, the whole idea of the earth opening up. How is that a proof or Raya for Moshe? So I don't know. I mean, we're not really.
I just wasn't sure if that was implied, and I just didn't get it.
That's more of a side point. I think the whole idea is it's a remez from that pasuk, and that idea of ufkudas kol adam yipaked aliham, I think, is more of a side point. It's not really the central idea of the.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. All right. Any other questions? All right. So just a little bit of a review of the share tonight, and then we'll finish it up. So we started off with the idea, the pasuk of Yom Kamos Kol Adam Yimusun Eila Ufkudas Kol Adam Yipaked Aliham. So the Gemara says we learn out from Ufkudas Kol Adam Yipaked Aliham the idea that of Bikur Cholim, because the cases where people get sick and they end up on their way to death, and people visit them before they die. the question was, why is it that the Torah's paradigm of Bikur Cholim is attached to a person dying when Bikur Cholim also exists when a person is merely sick? So we said that a key concept, I think Emily said, that a key concept is that being a Chola is always tied to death, because it reminds a person of their own death. And part of being Mevakir the Chola is that it reminds the Chola of his own potential for death. And that idea is brought out in the Kli Yakar. And he says that that's advantageous to the Mevakir, because it reminds the Mevakir of his own mortality. It allows him to do tshuva. Right? And then we saw the Rambam. The Rambam has a couple interesting ideas about Bikur Cholim. One idea he says is that the key component to Bikur Cholim is demonstrating an identification with the Chola. And the Chola, it's similar to Nichum Avelim. The Chola is comforted the most when he senses that the Mevaker is going through a similar experience that he's going through. And the person who's not Mevaker, it demonstrates a lack of ability to identify with the Chola, because he doesn't want to face his own mortality, his own sense of death. And that's too difficult. And then we had this halacha at the end where the Rambam talks about how you're Mevaker the Chola. And he says that you don't really talk to the Chola. You merely just go in, you dive in, and then you leave. And we said that the Rambam doesn't include talking to the Chola, because that's not really what Bikur Cholim is. Bikur Cholim is simply just demonstrating to the Chola that you're experiencing a similar idea and you're grappling with the similar issue, sorry. And the idea is that of the Shekhinah being there, which is why we enter into, why the Mevaker has to be Mevaker in this way, is the concept that a Chola and the Mevaker both gain a greater insight into God and how God operates. Because by being in a state where you're grappling with your own mortality, you're able to see things clearly, more clearly, and therefore you're able to gain greater insight into God. So that's the idea of the Shekhinah. It's not some supernatural, non-invisible thing, but it's really, the idea of Shekhinah is merely an idea that man is privy to greater information about God and more clarity about God, as opposed to when they're not in that state, when a chola is not in that state, when they're healthy, you don't really have the same opportunity to understand God and gain that closeness with God. So I think that's the main idea of the shiur, and that's pretty much it.
Can you
so.
Just say it one more time?
Yeah, one more
time.
Yeah. The simple definition of Shekhinah, once again, is that Shekhinah merely means that man has a greater opportunity to understand God and gain insight into God. So it doesn't mean that God is more there. That doesn't make any sense. God exists, and his existence doesn't change. The idea is merely that man is given greater opportunity to understand God and gain greater insight and gain closeness to God. So like I said, there's an idea of Shekhinah by when you're Roi HaSalavana, when you look at the moon, before you make the bracha on the moon, because the idea is, I think the idea is that in the world of the planets and the stars, there's an enhanced level of chachma, there's a more abstract knowledge, and when man grapples or gains insight into that knowledge, it's a greater reflection on God, and they gain greater insight. So whenever God is more manifest to man, that's what we say by Shekhinah. Doesn't mean that
it's... Didn't you say that?
Yeah.
So visiting the sick, you have to sit on the same level because the cleaner is above them.
What did you say?
Anyway.
What? Oh, you mean? Oh, that's a good question. You mean why is it above the head of the chola?
If it's not really, it doesn't exist.
Right. I think that's an idea in a kavod, that the idea is that even though man does gain insight into God when he's a chola, he's not on an equal level. So there's always a recognition that God's above man. In other words, that's the idea of the Shekhinah being Mimalo Miroshosov, above his head, meaning to say that he's not on an even level with God. He doesn't relate. You can't relate to God as your buddy. He's not on. You can't perceive God in that way. There always has to be a barrier. There always has to be a recognition that there's a certain that understanding God. That God is above you, and that's the idea that the Shekhinah is Mimalo Miroshosov. It doesn't mean that there's actually some type of, which normally people think of Shekhinah, they think of it as like an invisible entity, like somewhere in the vicinity, but that's not the idea. The idea is of the Shekhinah being above the Rosh Hashanah is that there has to be a recognition in seeking out God and in understanding God that God is above us, and that there's a certain limit to our understanding, and we have to take that into account before we're privy to that knowledge. That's why both the Shekhinah is above the head of the Chola, and that's why you as the Mevaker, you can't sit above the head of the Chola. It's almost like a gnai. It's almost like you're saying, and you're lacking a certain recognition of the highness and the greatness of God, that God is above man. Does that explain that concept?
Yeah.
Emily?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so everyone, have a good Shabbos, and enjoy the parsha this week. And thanks for calling in. Thanks for coming. Have a good night.